Bruce did a nice job of covering my first few slides, which will save some time, which is nice. I'd like to talk to you today about some work that we've been doing as a result of the same types of frustrations about trying to measure the water status of plants, especially. I've worked on apples and grapes over the years, and this is a joint project that was basically a dream of mine where I wanted to not have to measure all these different things. I thought, let's see if we can figure out a way to put a sensor inside of a tree or a vine and have it automatically monitor the water status, and especially the stem water potential. So I got together with fellow Abe Struk in engineering at Cornell, who's a brilliant microfluidics engineer, and I laid out what I thought we needed to do, and he could see the wheels turning, and he said, yeah, we can do that. That was 11 years ago. He didn't say it would be fast. I'd like to show you, as he mentioned, because of weather patterns as well as soil, both of those factors affect the water status of woody plants, well, all plants, but especially because of the high hydraulic resistance for water movement in woody plants, you have a strong slope between the water potential and the transpiration rate, which makes the actual water status of the plant very sensitive to the weather. So you have a very dynamic system. Also, our woody plants tend to have big root systems, but not always very dense. So you don't always know where the roots are. And so, again, we would prefer to measure the plant that's integrating it. And then also, our in many cases, like with fruit crops, the stage of development, the crop load, we may do summer pruning. There's a lot of things that affect the water loss rates and the water potential of the plant because of our manipulation. So it's a very complex system, and there's just another way of showing the types of all these factors that are involved. And the main point is that any one of these measurements is not adequate to estimate the water potential of the plant. So we wanted to be able to measure it directly. So the approach was to go to the current state of the art, this monster, the pressure bomb that most of you are probably familiar with and have an aching back from, try to shrink that down to a chip sensor that we can embed into the trunk to be able to monitor the stem water potential. So the ideal type of plant water stress sensor, we thought, should monitor a key component of the plant water status, in this case stem water potential, that's well correlated to growth, gas exchange function in the plant. And because it's dynamic, we want to measure it continuously, or at least sample it at a high rate so we can monitor that dynamics. And because we're dealing with trees that can have quite large stresses going on, we need a wide range of stress to be able to sense, so a big range. And it needs to be rugged, stable over time, at least 1 year, one season. Don't want to have to be changing it every month. Easy to install and maintain, and also manufacture. So this is a MEMS, a microelectromechanical systems, which is like a next generation chip manufacturer. It's all robotic. Very low price after you pay for the first one. We wanted it to attach into a wireless network. The approach was to take the same principle as the soil tensiometer. So a reservoir, an exchange surface, and a pressure gauge. And we have that in a chip which is 4 millimeters by 4 millimeters and a couple hundred microns thick. And the idea then was to have it so we could embed it into the directly into the trunk of trees and vines. It can be used in the soil as a normal tensiometer as well, it can integrate into a wireless system. Because of the very small size, and especially the pores are extremely tiny that do the exchange. The sensor has a range. We have measured down to minus 300 bars with it, but our normal ones are about 100 bar range. So there's plenty of range for working in soils and plants. Okay, so the tensiometer itself, on the left is Abe Struck, our engineer, and the several students that have worked on it with us. Vinay Pagay was the first one, a horticulture student with engineering, co-degree in engineering. And Michael Santiago took it from there and did a lot of his PhD in engineering with it. And then current student Siyu Zhu, who I'll show some of her data. So the chip itself has a liquid cavity. It's in the it's a nanoliter range, just a few nanoliters. It does have a, can't really tell from this, but there's a pressure transducer on the surface here, and has a built-in platinum resistance thermistor, and the liquid cavity is under the pressure transducer. And then this is a nanoporous silicon surface that allows exchange with the plant, so equivalent to the ceramic tip. Now we can't just put the chip itself in because it's very thin and it would break and it's difficult to install. Also, there are shrinking and swelling pressures that go on during the day in the trunk. So the chip itself is held in a cylindrical. There's a cylinder that we have. This is the current one. Is about 6 millimeter diameter and 6-8 millimeters deep, and it holds the chip in position in the xylem. Okay, so we drill a hole and insert it so that we can monitor the internal stem potential. And this is just kind of a close-up showing the chip. Is embedded with the sensing edge on the outside. It is slightly extended so that when it's inserted parallel to the xylem vessels, that we get it as close, a good tight contact as possible. We insert it by basically drilling a hole the right diameter. We use a jig to hold the drill in good position. We do use a special, it's called an end mill, drill bit that gives a flat end rather than a pointed end. And we've been working on various ways to optimize the installation and support. The one on the right is a prototype with a spring-loaded support to hold so that the spring is holding the sensor tight against the xylem. But we're working on several different approaches to that. We've been testing it in the last couple years in apple orchards. This one's in New York, and then almonds in California. And let's see. This is a study from California, a trial at Davis with Ken Shackle, who is testing and checking our sensor. If Ken is happy with it, I'm happy with it, because Ken is extremely meticulous about that. So this is from Almond, so the green line is the minute-by-minute output from the sensor, and it's recorded. It's about a 10, 12-day period there. And then the dots are Ken's pressure bomb readings. And so you can see it's it correlates quite nicely with his study. Also, we have trials in commercial vineyards in Napa and the Central Valley. This is one from the Napa Vineyard. And again, the traces are the sensor, and then the pressure bombs are the test. The top one is the grower's pressure bomb readings, and then the bottom is another trial with Ken with potted grapevines. It's a little harder to see the dots, but they... he has quite a few there, and it correlates quite nicely. Okay, so we've been trying to see how quickly it responds. The sensor itself responds very quickly, in a controlled situation. But when you put it in the trunk, I think because of the capacitance of the system, you can see in the lower plot there's the radiation is in red, and so you can see it was a very cloudy day, so that's why I chose that. And you can see that the sensor and the water status in the trunk seems to be rather dampened, so it doesn't jump up and down dramatically from minute to minute. And so that gives you an idea of the type of response that we see. And we do get good correlations with the pressure bomb, although you can find significant variations in pressure bomb values within a tree itself. We don't see as good a correlation where there's rapid changes, like in the morning, because of the lag. A sensor is going to read a little lower than the leaf water potential that we measure. Oh, these are stem water potentials that we're measuring with the pressure bomb. Here's another plot from CU with a potted apple tree, so that you could put it through a rather severe, quick drought cycle. And you can see she took a lot of measurements with the pressure bomb, and it gives us some confidence that we're getting good readings. We have actually started some studies with corn. We have to wait until the corn stem is tough enough to be able to get the sensor in, so we can't do it immediately. But this was just a preliminary study, and it was well watered here. We're not quite sure why the pressure bomb values were low when everything else was constant. But then she did a drought stress study, and you can see a pretty good correlation. So we're encouraged that it could be used in some tougher annuals as well. We have done some soil moisture release curves with it, and it does look pretty good, although this was done with the 100 bar sensor. So it was at the very, we're kind of stressing the sensitivity of it. We need to make another set of wafers with a pressure transducer that gives us a finer control over the higher levels of water potential. So, that's kind of a summary of what we've done, where we are. Need to acknowledge the research grants and support that we've gotten to develop this, and the technical support from several nanotech centers. We are taking this to the field. Wanted to, be sure that this became a useful tool. So we put together a spinoff company called FloraPulse. Abe and I are co-founders, but advisors on the engineering and the agriculture. And Michael Santiago finished his PhD, and now he's heading up this company, currently in Davis and working with quite a few growers in field testing. So be happy to take questions later or whatever. Okay.